I want to draw your attention up here. We're going to do something this year. There it is. We're going to try to highlight our partners in missions. And these two, Peter and Lucy Station, are in Siberia presenting the gospel. So let's pray for these folks as we pray together. Let's pray. Father, we have gathered this day to worship. You are holy, you are righteous, you are good. Lord, you are perfect in every way. And Father, we thank you that we get to meditate on your word, that we thank you that you have spoken to us and that you desire to continue to speak to us. Father, thank you that you created this world, but thank you too that you did not turn your back and walk away. Lord, we love you. We want to honor you this day. We're thankful for Christ, for as we have just celebrated his birth, we're thankful that he was willing to take on human flesh and then ultimately die in our place. And Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit in our lives amongst us. Father, we lift up our partners in missions as they're in Siberia in a very difficult situation living-wise, but also then, Father, I pray that you would help them to proclaim the gospel, the truth of who Christ is. Father, we thank you for being sufficient in that. Father, as we think about what you're doing around the world, may we just be sensitive to your leading, whether that be in Siberia or Honduras or Guatemala or Palmer Street. May we just be watching for what you're doing, and then may our hearts be willing to join you in what you're about. Father, we're thankful for how you have worked. As we start into this new year, Lord, may we make resolutions, not that we typically do, but that may we make resolutions that we carry out. Father, it's the last days and weeks have been difficult for many. There's been loss of loved ones, there's been sickness, there's been all kinds of manner of things, and it may be emotional, it may be financial, it may be health. Father, I just lift these families and these folks to you. Lord, as we open your word now, speak into our hearts. We need to hear from you. Father, we need to hear from you to understand and to know how to live. Thank you for coming. Lord, again, speak into our hearts. We pray in Christ's name together. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 15. When the new pastor of the church came, he preached his first Sunday there. People thought, boy, this is going to be good. The second week, the same message. Well, people talked, of course. And some figured that with the move and getting settled, he just didn't have time to prepare. Well, when the third Sunday came around, the pastor preached the same message. For the third time, some confronted him. And his response was, well, when you begin doing what I preached, I'll move on to the next. And I kind of feel that way this morning. I preached this message that I'm about to about this time last year. It is said close is good enough in horseshoes and hand grenades. This morning, as we launch into 2017, can you believe it? Getting close to what Jesus says we are to practice, how we are to live, how we're to live out our faith as his followers, close enough is not good enough. We must hit the target. My prayer for this church, for us, is to bear fruit. Close enough will not suffice. We must hit the target. We're going to start in John chapter 15. We're going to first read the first 11 verses. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." As we think about hitting the target, you hit the target by maintaining your aim. Your aim is to be on Christ. Your aim is to be like Christ. Your aim is to be abiding in Christ. And that's not a once-a-week visit to church. Abiding in Christ is where you live out your life in the presence, in the knowing that the reality of who Christ is. This abiding has been defined as maintaining a vital spiritual connection with Christ. A vital spiritual connection with Christ. Not a, I go to church and daydream about what yesterday held. It's not that I went to church and I wonder what I'm going to do this afternoon. It's not I went to church and I thought about the ball game that I watched last night or get to watch today. It is a vital reality or a vital connection with Christ. Only then can you bear fruit. Only then. So do you have a real personal relationship with Jesus? Do you have a salvation experience? Kim and I got to go to South Africa in 1997. A ton of stories that I still remember about that place. But what struck us was the first night that we met with this little church that we were going to work with. We sat in a big circle, and I'm talking a pretty good-sized circle, but the circle was about as big as about these two pews together. So there was like 50 people sitting around it. And they started going around the circle giving us their testimony. Every one of them gave their testimony. Let's do that right now. Everybody that's a member, how many of you would hit the door? I don't care if it's a preacher asking you or somebody with a gun held to your head. Do you love Jesus? If you cannot answer, "Yes, I do, because I gave my life to him," then do you really have a personal relationship with him? Do you really have a salvation experience with him? Every one of us who claim to be a disciple of Christ, every one of us who claim to be, because we think we know we are a church member, that is good enough. It is not. It was interesting, my first church, just like every church, you have X number of church members and X number that attend. And did you catch my hand, the difference? And there was one lady there in the community that we lived, and she was kind of infamous. You know, that's when you're known for stuff that you really don't really want to be known for. That's how that word is used. And one time I finally came across her, and you know, and I just figured if she didn't care any more about the church than to never come, I wasn't going to change her mind. But this is what she said. She said to me something to the effect of, well, I have a buzzard religion. What she meant, and she clarified it. She went on to clarify it and said, well, a little bit goes a long way. Now, I'm no inspector of hearts, but it doesn't seem to me that she's abiding in Christ. And if she's not abiding in Christ, there is no spiritual fruit for her to bear. She's dead, and she doesn't know it. Jesus is preparing the disciples for his departure. And he goes on and talks to them and describes maintaining their aim in terms of a vineyard. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, I am the source of life and strength. And this is a word picture of real, living, saving faith that trusts in Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches. And he says, God the Father is the vine dresser, and we are the branches. The vine dresser wants fruit or more fruit and takes steps to get it. And he cuts out the dead and he cuts around the living. He prunes the living. And sometimes we don't like the fact that pruning is going on in our hearts and lives. Sometimes we don't like the fact that the clippers are on our lives. But that's what he must do to get fruit and more fruit. You say, boy, I just want everything to be perfect. I want my life to be easy. Well, how was 2016 for you? How was 2015? Let me tell you, the last 2 years of my life in terms of what's gone on in my family hasn't been peachy keen. It hadn't been perfect, but I know that he is good, and I know that he is trustworthy. And I want to abide in him because I want fruit to be born. I want the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things. But I want new believers. I want to see Christ draw new people to himself. So I know that I need to abide in him. I know that there may be some pruning going on. In chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's about what he says. It's about his words. Here he says, keep my commands and abide in my love. If you were to circle around a person while looking in at the person, you probably wouldn't have any problem because you can just do everything and everything's fine. But what happens when we're called to look outward? How is it that we're going to be able to keep our lives connected with Christ when we're to love our neighbor? Well, you can do that if you touch them or if you listen to them. And my challenge to you, the challenge to us as a church is for you to abide in Christ, that you keep listening to Christ and you keep loving your neighbor. We are to abide in Christ. We are to be listening to him, and we're to work our way around Christ, but we're to love our neighbor. We're to reach out to people, but as long as I'm listening to him, I'll stay with him. And that's what our challenge is to abide in Christ. We're to love our neighbor. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to be out so that we, to bear fruit. But we've got to stay. We've got to stay listening to his voice. So what voice? Whose voice do you listen to? My question to you that may be asked this way, what are you doing to grow? Were you in Bible study this morning? Every Sunday, we have a Bible study that you would be welcome to. Bible studies will start in 2 weeks. Will you be there? Wednesday morning offers two. David referred to one. There's one about 10:30 on Wednesday morning. Will you be there? He said, well, 6:30 is too early. No, I don't want any of y'all that go to say this, but I am not a morning person, and they can give testimony to that. That's what I don't want them to say. But what are you doing to grow? Be careful of the value statements you're going to make. Nothing, not family, not relaxation, not anything should come before your relationship with Christ. Well, I go to church. That is not enough for you to grow as you need to grow. What are you doing to grow? Let me ask it again, back to my illustration. Are you looking in or are you looking out? So many people turn their life focus inward. Churches do that as well. We're to turn our focus outward, both as individuals and us as a body. But we must listen. We must be hearing the word, the voice of the Lord. As a church, as an individual, how complacent are you? Something got said about one of the coats, what I call my work coat. Somebody said, well, how old is that thing? About 30 years old. Hey, it's good enough. Well, that's fine if you're talking about wasting money on a coat that you're going to get dirty or tore up. But it's quite different if you're talking about your relationship with Christ. If your life is bearing some fruit, God will intervene to cause you to bear more fruit. Both involve pain. But why? Well, one, you're doing something wrong. The other, you're doing something right. One bears no fruit, the other some fruit, or a lot of fruit. One, you should be guilty or sad because sin needs to go. The other should be relief because trust... And trust because self needs to go. Repentance is a response to the first. Release the second. Pain stops when you stop sinning. The other when God is finished. Don't waste the pain. So which situation describes you? What pruning is going on in your life? What pruning is going on in the church? Are you maintaining your aim? Hit the target. Hit the target by always seeking the best for others. Let's read it some more. Verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another." Seek the best for others. Jesus gives this command, love one another. Good intentions or warm feelings for others is not enough. Want and seek what is ultimately best for them. And keep on seeking the best for them. Not what you think or what they think or what you want or what they want, but what Jesus says is ultimately the best for them. Jesus compares the love you're to have for others to the love that he has for you. Then in verse 14, he gives an indicator of whether or not you're in a relationship. Are you doing what he commands? Are you living according to his word? Or are you the best rationalizer known to mankind? Anybody ever rationalize anything? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Or you can look at something and say, well, that's not that bad. This is God's will for you, that you are to love others. And what is there in life more than knowing and doing God's will? He wants you to join him. He wants you to live a life of godliness, praying God's best for others. The lady went to see a pastor about joining his church. She said her doctor had sent her, which was probably a curious thing in his mind. She had recently had some work done, a facelift, in fact, and when her doctor dismissed her, he gave her this advice. My friend, I have done an extraordinary job on your face, as you can see in the mirror. I have charged you a great deal of money, and you were happy to pay it. But I want to give you some free advice. Find a group of people who love God and who will love you enough to help you deal with all the negative emotions inside you. Find a group of people who want the very best for you. If you don't, you'll be back in my office in a very short time with your face in far worse shape than before. Sometimes wanting the best for someone is to tell them the truth about themselves. That's hard. That's hard. Are you willing to do that? You'll be accused of not being very loving when that person really means what that person really means is you told me the truth, but not what I wanted to hear. Parents seek the best for their kids by establishing limits and enforcing them and not hovering over them. You teach them respect. You teach them to work. Spouses seek to make the others feel like a success in every part of their lives. If you work with a lost person, seeking their best is sharing the gospel with them. And sometimes the seeking the best for others is more pragmatic. Going to work, coming home, helping with homework, minding manners, all those things. Are you willing to lay down your life for others? Do you really want what's best for others? Will you hit the target? Hit the target by ignoring the distractions around you. One last passage, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it was hated me, that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. Hit the target by ignoring the distractions around you. Jesus knew the world would react to you as it did to him. If the world hates you, know it hated him first. And if you think the love of Christ and the love and the life lived for Christ will be welcome, then think again. Jesus reminds the world of their evil. their sin in God's coming judgment. And as you do as well, if you live for Christ, you will remind them of their sin. So don't be distracted by the world's hatred and miss the target of loving your neighbor and ultimately bearing fruit. When I was a kid, we used to go shoot my dad's single-shot .22 rifle. I had opportunity over the holidays. My boys both love guns, and they've got a couple guns, more than a couple, one of them does. And so we got to go shoot, and I honestly didn't want to shoot, partly because I didn't want to show how bad of a shot I am. Now, back when I used to shoot my dad's single-shot .22, I was a pretty good shot. I was pretty accurate. But when I got to shooting the bigger guns, I developed a flinch. And the truth of it is, some of you are experiencing the same kind of flinch, but in your spiritual life. You've let the distractions get the best of you. If you want to be accepted and fit in with the world rather than loving Jesus with all your heart and knowing and obeying His word, you're distracted. It occurred to me the labels that get put on people now in the political realm. The one that is most curious to me are those who would label themselves progressive. You know, as things progress, it's getting better, don't you think? That's what they would say to you. But what's curious is those, in my opinion, in God's opinion, they say, well, I'm trying to be progressive. What they're really saying is I'm trying to get as far away from the Bible and God's Word and you Bible-believing Christians as I possibly can. So if you want to be accepted and fit in with the world, rather than loving Jesus with all your heart, you're distracted. And that is true in the halls of school and in your workplace as it is in with your political views. If you want everyone around you to like you rather than telling them the truth about themselves, you'll be distracted. If you want to love yourself and hang on to your life rather than laying down your life, you'll be distracted. My challenge to us this year is don't be distracted. Let's hit the target. Let's bear fruit in our own personal lives, but also as a church. So are you hitting the target? Are you maintaining your aim by seeking after Christ and intimacy with Him? Are you hitting the target? Are you seeking after what's best for others, even to the point of laying down your life? And I don't mean taking a bullet for somebody. I mean, let's see, I've got 2 o'clock Tuesday. I can either go here and do what I want to do, or I can go there and meet a need. I think I'll go meet the need. That's laying down your life. Are you hitting the target? Are you able to ignore the distractions? Will we bear fruit in 2017?